Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And Jim, first of all, a quick shout out to all the folks participating in the March for Life today in downtown Washington, D.C. There will be hundreds of thousands. Kudos to all of you for pushing for the right to life of the unborn. Our first two martinis today deal with the impending, looming government shutdown. The media loves the word looming this week. All the cable channels have their shutdown countdown clocks going on, Jim. And by all accounts, we're probably actually going to see a shutdown. But who knows? Things can change in the final hours. They certainly have in past years. But the good martini is that this administration has no desire to portray shutdown theater like the last administration. This is from the Salt Lake Tribune. In a stark contrast to how the Obama administration handled the 2013 government shutdown, the Interior Department is telling national parks to stay open as much as possible if Congress doesn't pass a new spending bill by Friday. During the 16-day government shutdown 4 years ago, parks were closed, facilities shuttered, and monuments on the National Mall fenced off. Moves the Obama administration said were necessary when Congress failed to pass a new budget. The public outrage over the parks and monument closures dominated much of the discussion during the shutdown. Congressional leaders are now working to pass a short-term budget plan, but government officials are preparing to close down non-essential services late Friday just in case. In a recent memo to park officials and other public land managers, the Interior Department outlined ways to keep public areas open if possible. Those services that require staffing like campgrounds and concessions could close. Interior spokeswoman Heather Swift said visitors who come to our nation's capital will find war memorials and open-air parks open to the public. Nationally, many of our national parks, refuges, and other public lands will still allow limited access wherever possible. So, Jim, it's kind of fun to have an administration that doesn't want to use your high-cost family vacation as a pawn for their little political game.
Exactly, Greg. Look, one of the things that illustrated the cynicism of past government shutdown fights was the way that Democratic administrations, and in particular the Obama administration, attempted to maximize the pain of a government shutdown and to try to create as many, you know, dramatic photo ops as possible, even when it was fairly ridiculous. And the flashpoint for it last time was the World War II memorial right in the middle of the mall, which is a bunch of marble pillars and arches, and you basically walk through it. It's not like it can be locked up. It's not like it's a building. It's not like it requires a great deal of maintenance other than telling kids to get their feet out of the reflecting pool. It's pretty just there. It's right there on the mall. There's really not much point in trying to shut it down, except they decided to put down a bunch of barriers. And that's why you saw people getting quite upset about that. Same thing with, I believe it was Overlook points looking at Mount Rushmore and various other points. And just kind of illustrated how ridiculous and how much, for all these essential workers seem to be putting a lot of effort into making sure people couldn't enjoy really basic things. And the Trump administration, for all of its flaws, is taking a very common sense approach to this. Instead of maximizing the pain of a government shutdown and seeing the entire federal government as a giant tool to be used to win partisan fights, let's minimize the pain of a government shutdown so that people can enjoy what their tax dollars have paid for as much as possible until we work out this dispute. So that is one aspect. And, like I said, a couple of previous podcasts ago, Greg, I said that you always get the feature story on this, the class that saved a lot of money to travel across the country and go to Washington, D.C., and they get to the Smithsonian and find that it's closed. The Smithsonian will still be closed, but at least they'll have certain memorials open. And it sounds like various national parks, the entire Department of the Interior is saying, okay, how do we minimize the effect of this instead of trying to maximize the effect in order to increase pressure in folks on Capitol Hill who we don't like?
Well, let's move on to the bad martini now. It dovetails in obviously perfectly with that, and that's the fact that we probably are headed towards a government shutdown. On Thursday, the House voted 230 to 197 to pass a short-term continuing resolution, which also included a six-year extension, fully funded, of the Children's Health Insurance Program. So Jimmy Kimmel should be happy. He's not, though, because it's not a clean chip extension, because that's what the Democrats told him to say. Meanwhile, the Democrats say they will not pass this in the Senate. And the bad news is apparently there's six Republicans who are also not okay with this. You've got Lindsey Graham and others saying this has got to be a comprehensive deal, basically parroting Democratic talking points that it's got to deal with immigration and a bunch of other stuff. But, Jim, it's fun to watch the spin job this time, because one of the things Republicans have going in their favor is that they've got a president willing to sign a bill and Republican leaders putting forward a bill saying, here's the bill that will keep the government open. We're ready to vote for this. We have a president ready to sign it. So you tell us who's the ones stopping this from happening, except for the six Republicans in the Senate, of course. So first of all, a little twisted logic last night on CNN. This was Jerry Nadler, Democratic congressman from New York, speaking with Aaron Burnett on CNN.
Am I okay with the government closing? No, I'm not okay with the government closing.
But you just voted. But
I did not vote for closing the government. I voted against the latest of four continuing resolutions.
So I didn't vote to close the government. I just voted against the bill that would keep it open. And then just a delicious irony, Jim. I'm sure you've seen this over the past couple of days. Back in 2013, we had a big fight over something like this. And Chuck Schumer, then not the leader of the Democrats in the Senate. Then it was the August Harry Reid. But Chuck Schumer went on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos talking about the ridiculous hostage tactics of the Republicans in these negotiations. And he used immigration as an example of how not to conduct these negotiations.
This is playing with fire, and we are happy to negotiate, but we want to negotiate without a gun to our head. Speaker Boehner comes in and he says, basically, it's sort of like this. Someone goes into your house, takes your wife and children hostage, and then says, let's negotiate over the price of your house. You know, we could do the same thing on immigration. We believe strongly in immigration reform. We could say we're shutting down the government. We're not going to raise the debt ceiling until you pass immigration reform. It would be governmental chaos.
Chuck Schumer now pro-governmental chaos, Jim.
Yeah, this is a spectacularly cynical perspective by the Democrats. And I would point out, I think this is what happens when you go into every dispute knowing the media has your back, right? That you're never going to, you know, that you and I will play that audio. Maybe Gerald Nadler will get a little tripped up when he's told, you know, I want to keep the government open. That's why I voted against the bill that will keep the government open. You know, that basically eventually the logic of the pretzel logic that he's attempting to deploy might catch up with him. But by and large, the Democrats, other than a couple of the red state ones, don't feel like they're worried about this. Now, here's the thing. If you believe, as Senator Dianne Feinstein asserted yesterday, that if the government shuts down, people will die, Greg, that the government shutdowns kill people, well, then you'd probably think, OK, well, we better keep the government open no matter what else is going on. And the Republicans, not only have they put forth a continuing resolution that keeps the government open for a month, they threw in 6 years of funding for children's health insurance program, which Democrats have been saying they want to do. All right, guys, here's two things you want to do. And it avoids that terrible circumstance. You keep telling us how terrible it is to shut down the government. And by and large, by the way, I do agree with that. I don't think you should shut down the government. We paid for this money. There's this idea that a couple folks on the right think government shutdowns save the people money. Actually, they don't, because generally the federal workers get back pay because Lord knows they weren't, you know, pushing for the government shutdown. So, but they didn't actually do the work for the period that they got back pay. So basically, we're going to end up paying the federal workers, but we're not getting any work on their part as a result of that. So we end up losing money on government shutdowns. So don't let you think this is some sort of really great idea for fighting the deficit or the debt or something like that. Look, if you guys think this is a terrible thing, it's a very simple solution. Vote for the continuing resolution. And hey, if you're worried about the children's health insurance program, vote for it too. DACA, we can work out a deal on DACA, but you can't, you know, you guys basically are the hostage takers in this situation. You're basically saying, give us everything we want on DACA, or else we won't vote to keep the government going. And I don't know if this is going to work for them. Listeners of this podcast know I'm not a big fan of this strategy by Republicans, but the Democrats are going a little bit further out on a limb than they usually do. Because yes, people generally think the DACA immigrants should stay, but they don't necessarily, like, are they willing to, you know, have a government shutdown for a long stretch over it? Do they basically, is this, you know, a quote unquote hill to die on? Or do most people say, you know what, I'd really rather the government get reopened and you guys, you know, settle and hash this out in another way. They really seem to be convinced that they're going to, you know, have public opinion on their side. Also, the other advantage Republicans have is that this is, you know, I believe the government shutdown will begin midnight tonight. Certainly there are some federal workers who work on Saturdays and Sundays, but you know, the first 48 hours, America's not going to notice the shutdown in most ways. So it's an interesting thing. I wonder how much unity there is in the Democratic caucus. I don't know if this is necessarily going to play as well as it has in the past for them, because in the end, it is Senate Democrats who are insisting they will not vote in a continuing resolution until they get everything they want on DACA. And I think eventually that will bite them. Although I'm not 100% sure. And this is such a case in which the Republicans have been so reasonable and doing so much to avoid a government shutdown. I don't know. The coverage of the Democrats should be a lot tougher than it currently is.
That's certainly true. But the Republicans are close to having almost an airtight case here that even the media would have a hard time spinning, except for the fact that they don't have enough votes even to get a simple majority. They need 60 in the Senate, but they don't even have a simple majority. And so the liberal slash media line is probably going to be, well, you don't even have enough votes in your own party to get a simple majority. Why do you expect Democrats to end up bailing you out on this? So if they had those six, then I think the burden would really be on the Democrats. But I think that's going to be the hook by which the media and the Democrats weasel out of this. But we'll see.
Well, we've got 40-some Republicans willing to keep the government open. How many Democrats are?
That's right.
Right? So who's the real problem here? The absurdity of that perspective does not of the Democrats' argument here. That look, until all Republicans are unified on this, no Democrat could be expected to vote for a continuing resolution.
All right, let's move on to the crazy martini now. And Jim, lots of important adjectives are being used about the new FISA memo that was sent to all the different members of the House of Representatives, courtesy of a party line vote in the House Intelligence Committee. Here's Fox News reporter Catherine Herridge explaining a little bit more about it, with comments first from Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida and then Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania.
Behind closed doors, the House Intelligence Committee made the memo documenting alleged government surveillance abuses available to all lawmakers. They could not discuss the contents, but some demanded its release.
This memo must become public, that it alarms us greatly, and that I believe that the consequence of its release will be major changes in people currently working at the FBI and Department of Justice.
Four pages. You knew as soon as you read them and you think about this, is this happening in America or is this the KGB? That's how alarming it is.
We'll see what's in this memo. A lot of alarming talk. So if it does get declassified and released to the public, it better be a bombshell or all these people are going to look pretty stupid. We'll find out if it actually gets released. I guess the House can vote to fully release it and fully declassify it. And the president obviously has a lot of options here as well.
Perhaps because we're talking about the FBI, it's good to refer to the poster on Fox Mulder's wall in the X-Files. I want to believe, which is not quite the same as I believe. I mean, these guys are describing it and making it sound like a cross between, you know, the Rosetta Stone and the Dead Sea Scrolls. I mean, they make it sound like the most momentous bombshell perspective changing information you possibly could take a look at. And maybe it is. I don't have the memo. I haven't seen the memo. And so I want to believe these guys. From the way they're talking, it certainly sounds like it incriminates or paints a very ugly picture of the FBI, perhaps of Comey, perhaps of Mueller, perhaps the Obama administration. Oh, my goodness. Okay, here we are. Right. Okay, so here's the thing. The you know, depending on who you ask, a couple people are insisting because this is a House document, only the House can vote to declassify it. Now, here's the thing. If this is what they say it is, why wouldn't House Republicans? You can do this tomorrow. You know, do this today. Just get everybody down to the floor, hold the vote, declassify it, boom, put it out there. See what this is. Alternately, I actually looked up the law on this. There's a case, Department of the Navy versus Egan. I think it was back to the late 80s, early 90s. Basically, it says the president's authority to declassify things is pretty much unlimited. There's a process he's got to go through, et cetera. But in the end, basically, the president has near total authority on declassifying classified information. So whatever's in that memo, I don't see why he wouldn't have the authority to say, all right, I want to release that information. Secondly, I guess you could probably argue maybe there's a separation of powers issue. The memo is generated by Congress or something. But whatever's in there, like, look, I'm now at the point where, like, okay, get it out there. All right, I'm tired of hearing about, oh my goodness, when you see this, it's going to be awesome. It's like trailers. It's like hints. It's like suggestions. It's winks and nods. All right, guys, whatever it is, let's get it out there. I want to see it. My sneaking suspicion, though, is that I feel like we've seen this sort of Lucy in the football thing before, in which we're being told this is a giant, huge, earth-shattering revelation, and then we read it and it doesn't quite live up to the hype.
Yeah, usually you want to under-promise and over-deliver. That doesn't seem to be the way politics works, but we'll find out.
We're at the point where basically you'd have to say, yes, the FBI and Fusion GPS and the Hillary Clinton campaign and Loretta Lynch and President Obama and the entire Obama administration and aliens conspired to stop the Trump campaign. That's the kind of revelation it would take to live up to this hype. We will see. Maybe it's got something in there short of the aliens. Although if they do have the aliens, that's a very big deal. So anyway, my suspicion is it won't be quite as much of a bombshell as they're touting it. And I don't like the idea of people, you know, setting up expectations and disappointing, but we'll see how this shakes out.
Jim, have a good weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch. Have a great weekend, everyone.